Mini episode 1648 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our NFC West preview in the FDH Lounge for 2023. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with my fellow original dignitary in the FDH Lounge, Chris Galloway. We're going division by division, breaking these all down. Go back to, if you want to hear our overarching thoughts for the offseason and the season as a whole, the first one of these we did, the AFC East, where we traditionally take on some of those thoughts here. The rest of these are tightly focused around division. Format is lifted from Fantasy Football Draftology 2023, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. Specifically in there, the feature entitled One Run-On Sentence for Each NFL Team in 2023. So here's our one run-on sentence for each team in the NFC West this season. Seattle. The Hawks were right, and the rest of the world was wrong about Geno Smith. But the problem is that the defense, notwithstanding Bobby Wagner's return, is too far from the form of the early to mid-2010s to allow this team to advance far in the playoffs. By the way, a note since that was written, Jamal Adams on the PUP list may come off week three. San Francisco, the faith that this team will be fine, notwithstanding anything that happens at quarterback, borders on the infantile, and combined with more issues on the offensive line and defense than most will admit, the Niners will take a step backward this year. LA Rams, the offense bottomed out in 2022, but the defense will take years to replenish, but the offense isn't likely to be great enough to consistently win the shootouts that will be foisted upon them week after week. Arizona, can it even be possible that this team was 7-0 as recently as October 2021, when they may be the biggest dumpster fire in the league right now, with a quarterback that they're locked into that they don't believe in anymore, a head coach who essentially got the job because Philly dumped him in town when the Super Bowl ended, copious cavities on both sides of the ball, and a general stench of death. By the way, Kyler Murray out until at least week three. So take it from there wherever you want to, Chris Galloway. I know there's a whole box full of things that I just emptied right there.
The Arizona Cardinals dumpster fire will be hotter than the summer they're having out there.
Nice.
That is a mess. Yep. That roster has got holes all over the place. Kyler Murray isn't worth that contract. They'll never be able to unload it. We knew that this was a problem when they put the "you must study and stop playing video games" in the contract, and it leaked, and then they withdrew it. I mean, boy, there's a red flag.
Yes.
That's almost Manziel-esque. No more DeAndre Hopkins. They're just I feel bad for the new coach. I mean, Jonathan Gannon is just like, hey, here's a pile of shit.
Right.
will you coach it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a 4-win team.
Right.
I know you said there's no more 4-win teams. That's a 4-win team, buddy.
Dude, I'm saying 3. I'm saying 3 wins.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm giving, you know, a little bit of, because I like Colt McCoy, I'm giving him, you know, maybe they squeak out one here and there. 3 might be actually more realistic. I might be too damn generous. They're a bad, bad team. And look, I'm not shocked, right? I mean, when they hired Kingsbury, I was just like, I don't get it. The guy couldn't win anything in college football. And the reality is, if you can't consistently be over 500 going to bowl games in college football, where it's just about recruiting and throwing the ball all over the place, you're not a good coach.
Right.
Like, the whole thing. And so, they're not good. The Rams, look, they are paying the price for all the money they pushed, all the chips pushed to the table, got them a Super Bowl win, right? Yep. Like, they, how many Browns fans would accept that? Almost all of them.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. Right? So, I don't, the Rams are just now paying the price for what they did, right? And I don't think Sean McVay comes back after this year. I think it's horse crap that he gets to basically skip out.
Right.
He's kind of tried to the last 2 years in one way or another. I don't know. They got him to come back. You helped create a situation where you got a ring and you sold out to get that ring. And then why is it you get to then skip out on the mess?
Right.
Like I got intellectually like a problem.
Yeah.
You get to retire and go do broadcasting for 3 or 4 years and then go find the next team that's compiled all kinds of talent and deep pockets and cap space to then be the guy again. Like, I don't like that. Like, I feel like that's just cheap. That's not real coaching.
I agree. And listen, let me say this, because I was a guy.
And of course, it would be a Miami guy that would behave like that.
I agree. Yes, Miami of Ohio, as they hate to be called. But listen, McVay is a guy. I put him over immediately upon him getting that job. I was a McVay guy right from the jump, largely because, again, a lot of times I do tend to believe in bloodlines, and sometimes it leads me astray, as it did with Pat Shurmur, but sometimes the bloodlines prove to be true. His father, grandfather, one of the great executives that helped build the 49ers in the 80s, John McVay. But this is a thing where I've been critical of some things along the way here. I thought he made a mistake in moving Wade Phillips out of there. I was wrong, because Brandon Staley came in and replaced him and did a good job defensively. But where I was right, at the very least, and this isn't a football decision, but it's a thing where the way that he threw Jared Goff under the bus, I thought was a lack of character on that. It's one thing, you got the guy you really wanted in Stafford. Do you have to keep grandstanding at this other guy's expense? I just felt that was really, really immature and childish, the way that he kept piling on about, look at what I did with a guy who sucked as much as he did. So I thought that was bad. And then he's had a deleterious effect on the NFL. It is a copycat league, and this whole thing of, like, teams borrowing from his whole thing of putting guys in bubble wrap in August. It's led to unwatchable football in September that basically distorts the way the final standings go, because you can't take seriously what happens in the first couple months of the season, or the first couple weeks of the season, and yet those games count as much as the games later on. It's interesting that he's backing away from that this year and putting the bubble wrap away to some degree. But I mean, McVay is a guy that, again, I've had a lot of admiration on a skill level and everything like that, but in a lot of other ways, I would say less admiration. And I think that ties into what you're talking about here, as far as that was a little bit almost as far as, like, if he leaves them with a roster the way that it is, it's kind of like LeBron playing shadow GM in Cleveland in the late 2010s and then leaving because it's like, I can't win with this roster. It would be a little bit the same way with McVay.
No, you're exactly right. And look, he is a good.
Yeah.
He thinks outside the box. I don't mean to just all completely denigrate him. I just don't like the idea that, like, you can step in, hot shot, take a team that acquired all this talent for you, you win, great, and then you're like, hey, I'm out of here. But while you're now going to have to rebuild for the next 5 years.
Like, right.
That just, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
And look, I think this team with Matthew Stafford, if he's healthy, Cooper Kupp, and Aaron Donald, they've got some players, you know. They're going to be a slightly tougher out than I think most people think this year. I'm going to give them 6 wins. That defense, other than Aaron Donald, is suspect as hell. But, you know, again, they're not completely lacking. They have some good coaching. They've got a few pieces. The question for them in my mind is, like, here's the thing, and I'll throw this out there for you. Like, Aaron Donald, right? Like, do you trade him at some point and get something with a contender?
If you can, it's a no-brainer. I mean, we want to live in this romantic world where somebody plays an entire career with one team, but that's a thing where if anybody is still going to give you a substantial amount for him with this many city miles on it, you do it.
You're right. And again, I could see a situation where there's a contender coming down, you know, that's on the playoff bubble, or they're competing and they're going to be a top four seed, and they need some of that help.
Right.
I mean, honestly, if you're like, or you're just trying to solidify, I mean, what if you're the Chiefs and you just go to the Rams and say, we'll give you a second round pick?
Right.
I mean, if you're the Chiefs, do you really care about that second round pick?
Right.
I mean, when you could potentially get Aaron Donald for the last 8 weeks in a Super Bowl, gearing up for a Super Bowl run?
Right.
I mean, to me, I'm like the Chiefs. I'm like, done. We want to get even better up front, right? Like, you know, somebody like that, I feel like, is going to make a move for Aaron Donald. And you're the Rams about to end, you know, entering this rebuild. You absolutely got to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the other one that's out there is, look, if you've got a competitive team competing for a playoff spot and your starter goes down, right?
Yeah.
You have got to call the Rams if you have any cap space and try to and get Stafford.
Right.
Right? Like, let's say he's – like, let's just knock on wood, right? Like, let's say it's the Browns, right? Deshaun Watson gets blindsided and his knee gets – let's say the Browns are 3-0 in week 4 against the Titans, his knee gets shredded.
Right.
Right? And you're the Browns, you're going into week 5. How do you not call the Rams? Like, how do you – I know it's like you've already got $1 billion on this quarterback, but he's not going to play the rest of the year. Let's say you somehow won your first 3 games, shocked the NFL. Oh, my God, the Browns are for real. Hooray, hooray, hooray. And then disaster strikes. Are you really going to go, you know, the next 14 games, it's ride or die with Josh Dobbs? You've got to call the Rams and go, you know, we'll take the salary off your hands, give you a second round pick or something, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You have to. You'd have to.
Yeah.
And again, I use the Browns as the example, but, you know, any one of these teams, right? I mean, it could be any one of these teams where they're in contention and disaster strikes. Are you really riding or dying with your inadequate backup quarterback?
By the way, Stafford
can be a had for just money, you know, just for money.
When you talked about ride or die, I think you mispronounced Dobbs there. I know you meant to say DTR.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. DTR will be QB3 this year.
Okay.
Dobbs will be QB2 because I know Kevin Stefanski is stubborn. It's his worst quality.
Sure.
Dobbs will be QB2. DTR will be QB3. DTR will be QB2 next year.
Okay.
But it's not going to happen this year.
Right.
And I don't know that it should. He's looked great against third, fourth string guys. And he's a guy who played like 4.5 years of college football. He should look good.
Right.
In a major program, too, by the way. I mean, he played at UCLA. He played like 4.5 years of football. You know, because don't forget COVID, right? Like, he played a lot of football.
Right.
And he's playing against third and fourth stringers.
Right.
So he should look good. I don't think that means he's ready for prime time.
Right.
Anyway, neither of you, I digress. But yeah, I think Stafford is another guy where if you are a contending team and your quarterback goes down, If you're a team, and I use the Browns just as an example only because they are in win now. They've got a loaded roster all over the place.
Right.
They are desperate. And you have to make that call. Andrew Berry has to make that call. It's absolute malpractice if they go like, well, we're a Dobbs team the rest of the season.
Right.
Like, no, you cannot be. So that's another guy that I would expect. It's very possible if he's healthy and looking decent, that the Rams could find a way to move and get the salary off there.
Did they move him that early in the season, though? Like, what's in it for them if they still think they can, you know, win a wild card in a crappy conference?
Well, and again, the scenario probably isn't great, right? Like, maybe it's week 8, right? Maybe
okay.
They're 3-5.
Sure.
You know? But I also think if you're the Rams, look, man, it might be a crappy conference, but let's say after week 8 you're 3-5. Like, you don't have a roster that's going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, so, like, you know what I mean? At some point, there's got to be some realization, right? Like, who you are and who you aren't.
Right.
Right? I mean, and so I get your point that, you know, week 3 might be too early, but Sure. I guess the point I was just trying to make was, you're a contender. Let's say it's week 8. You have to call the Rams.
You do.
And just get that guy so that you don't flush your season. So I wouldn't be shocked by the end of the season. Those two guys have been moved. But right now, I kind of give them 6 wins. Seahawks, but they were a surprise team last year, right? Even though some bad offensive line play, the quarterback play was surprisingly decent. They went and got Jackson. Yes, yeah. They went and got him. That should help. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Receiver. I like him. They've got some good cornerback secondary depth.
Yeah.
They've got Adam still at safety. Like, this is a team that's poised to get into the playoffs.
Yep.
As long as the QB play is consistent and doesn't drop off.
Agreed.
And so I kind of have them penciled as 10-7.
Okay.
And then, and that should be a great matchup for the Browns too in the middle of the season.
Right.
And then lastly, the 49ers. I mean, I've got them winning the division. I love their roster's loaded. It's a talented team, good coaching. I do think their big question mark is just the QB situation, right? I mean, thank God it's Shanahan, right, who can make the most out of what he's got. It's obvious Trey Lance is not the guy,
right.
And they're going to have – they'll try to move him at some point, either later in the season or obviously the off season. I mean, look – I was never a Trey Lance guy in the draft. I didn't understand it. He didn't play a lot of football at the 1AA level.
Right.
I could see the raw physicality and, but I'm like, guy hasn't played any football. And oh, by the way, what I did see, he didn't wow me.
Right.
Like, so I never understood. That felt to me like one of these massive over projections that everybody was doing in like sort of the echo chamber. Everyone trying to be clever, right?
Right.
That said, I mean, look, there's probably a few teams out there that might slide them a 5th or a 6th rounder to
right.
pick him up and try to develop him.
Yep.
And that might actually be worthwhile, trying to do that in the offseason.
Right.
Like, we have an athletic quarterback, he might fit our system, let's slide a 5th or 6th rounder over there. We got 2 of them, Let's
right.
see if the 49ers give us this kid, and let's see if we can make anything out of him. Like, he's going to get another shot.
Right.
Because of the rawness, and you see the potential. But the 49ers, I mean, look, Brock Purdy had a great second half. Mr. Relevant comes on, da da da. This is another guy who played a lot of college football.
Right.
So, experience-wise, he was, sort of capable of stepping in because he just played a lot of football. I don't know what Brock Purdy's ceiling is. I don't think it's very high.
Right.
And it may not have to be in the Shanahan system.
It may not have to be, yeah.
And they can still win games through a tough physical defense and with the weapons they have on offense, that it may be enough.
Right.
You got George Kittle. You got McCaffrey. Even like you got players.
Right.
So the quarterback has just got to like orchestrate the offense. He doesn't have to win you games.
Right.
And that was the secret to Garoppolo.
Right.
He didn't win them games. He just didn't lose them games. And so Purdy's the same thing. And honestly, I will tell you this: if Purdy gets hurt again or something, that's Sam Darnold. Like,
yeah.
I think Shanahan will simplify and put clamps on Sam Darnold and mold him into what he wants. And so I think Sam Darnold will inevitably play at some point this season. And I think that, Shanahan can make Sam Darnold work in that offense.
Well, as an
So they're going to win. I have them winning 11 games.
Okay.
Being 11-6, winning that division. In going into the playoffs, but I think their biggest question mark is the quarterback room. None of these guys are world beaters. None of these guys are great. They're just what I call Shanahan serviceable. He can make them work.
As an unrepentant Sam Darnold truther who who believed that he should have been the first pick in the draft of the Browns in 2018, but saw him be ruined by the Jets and then subsequently the Matt Rhule Panthers. I just wonder if he's at the point of no return. I will say this. If Shanahan can rescue his career, that is going to do so much for so many quarterbacks down the road who end up in the wrong spot not once but twice. Because that will give something to point to. Like, look at how much dirt had been shoveled on Sam Darnold when he came back and had a good career. So, you know, this would put things like the Jim Plunkett reclamation to shame.
Well, I think that Shanahan ends up with a side business, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jalopnik's go into his garage. He plays them for 6 or 7 games. And then he sends them off to you all looking like they're shiny and new.
Right.
And you give him a second rounder for that Sam Darnold.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, right? I mean, that's kind of like, I feel like that like could be his side business.
Could be.
You know, I'll take these shitty quarterbacks, I'll make them look good in my system, and I'll sell them to you and flip a profit.
Okay. Yeah.
And that may be Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold could work well in that system in San Francisco.
Right.
I think he could, and I mean, you're telling me Brock Purdy can do well in that system, but Sam Darnold can't? Like, under that system, Matt Ryan had his MVP year.
Right.
Under that system, Brian Hoyer had a career year.
Okay.
I mean, Shanahan takes trash and makes it work. I don't know that if Brock Purdy's in Minnesota that he looks decent.
No, or, I agree.
The Jets. Brock Purdy looks like Mr. Irrelevant if he's in New York.
I agree. But
And again, that's why they're going to go 11-6. That's why they're going to win the division. That's why they're going to go deep into the playoffs, because that roster, top to bottom, is strong and they have good coaching.
Okay. All right.
The quarterback is just a weak link, but he makes it work. But that's the problem with it. It has a ceiling. It has NFC championship game ceiling.
The way I see it is slightly transverse. Now in the division, I've got Arizona 3-14, the Rams 7-10. I've got the 49ers at 9-8 as a wild card team. Again, a worse record than a lot of people would expect, but I have them as a wild card. Seattle at 10-7 winning the division. So, any other thoughts on the NFC West? Because up next we're going to have the playoff breakdown here. Any other thoughts?
No, I think that, you know, it's the top two. It's going to be all about the 49ers and Seahawks all season long.
Yeah, I think so as well in this division just by default. So, all righty, we've been through all the divisions. Up next is the look at the playoffs for 2023-2024. Thank you, Chris Galloway, and thank you, everybody, for checking out this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.